And I'm going to be talking to you from right here so that we can record this, because we want to put on our website a message of hope in a time of pandemic. And I want to talk to you as kids, but I want to talk to all of us in general. And so you can talk back with me. This will be a dialogue. But sometimes we are scared of things we do not understand, and they are not really as scary as some of the things that we do understand. Have you ever heard this expression that sometimes we are afraid of things that go bump in the night? Well, sometimes when you get up the next morning, you'll find that it was nothing to be afraid of. The things that we ought to be most afraid of is sin, disobeying our parents, taking drugs, and saying words that offend and hurt other people. Those are the things we ought to be most afraid of. God does not want us to live in fear. However, He does give us common sense, and we should take ordinary precautions. It is not wrong for our government to quarantine. That means that sometimes, the term now I think is social distancing, but sometimes we need to take those precautions. In the book of Leviticus, there is the precedent for government to quarantine certain diseases that could be spreaded. But while we do everything that we think is important, God wants us to trust Him. And so I want to share with you, I'm not preaching a whole sermon, but in Psalm 91, if you have a Bible and want to look there, let me just talk us through this very quickly. Psalm 91 says that even though we cannot see God, we by faith can live close enough to God that we come under the shadow of His protection. And so now God is trying to tell us how He will protect us. And in verse 3, He says He will save us from the fowler's snare. Now, there may not be too many people here who know who a fowler or what a fowler is, but do any of you know what a fowler is? I'm not talking about a foul ball now, but we're talking about someone who catches birds. A bird is sometimes referred to as a fowl, and so a fowler is someone who catches a bird. Have you ever tried to catch a bird? Well, it's kind of uphill business. And if you're going to catch one, you have to lay a trap for it. Now, God is trying to say, I'll protect you from the fowler's snare. That's His trap. But we're not birds. But He's given us a word picture. Who is the one who's trying to trap us? The devil. And if we'll pay attention to God, God will protect us from the devil's trap. Now, the next thing God says is that He will cover us with His feathers. Well, I didn't know God had feathers. Does God have feathers? No, He doesn't. All right. God doesn't even have a body. So what does He mean? I will protect you. I will cover you with my feathers. Now, I'm going to give you a big double-jointed word, and you ought to go home praising God that this is not on your spelling test for next week. But this is an anthropomorphism. You want to say that? Anthropomorphism. Do you know what that means? That means a God who we cannot see is describing Himself to us in terms that we are familiar with. Now, how many of you have chickens at your house? All right. Do you ever have to go out and gather the eggs? Okay. Now, have you ever watched this? And this is something that some of the older people would be more familiar with. Certainly the people of Israel would have been very familiar. If the mother hen has baby chicks, and if something or someone is going to threaten those baby chicks, even if a storm is coming up, Jack, have you ever watched it? Do you know what they will do? Well, some of you know what they will do. The mother hen will somehow raise her wings, and all the little chicks will come under her wings until the danger has passed. Have you ever seen that happen? Okay. Now, you know what God says, you can't see me, but God says, I put that instinct in a mother hen to take care of her own. And the God who programmed hens and chicks to find shelter and protection is the God who will take care of us. And so God doesn't literally have wings. God doesn't really have feathers. But God acts like the mother hen that he created. And so he is giving us comfort here by telling us that he will protect us. And now notice what he says next. He says, you will not fear the terror of night. That's the things that go bump in the dark. You'll not fear those things, nor will you fear the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence. Now that's a big word. Does anybody know what pestilence means? A pestilence is something that's a threat to our well-being. And he says in verse 6 that he will protect us from pestilence and from plague. I looked in a commentary, and here's what the commentator said. This may indicate an epidemic raging at the time. So an epidemic can be a pestilence, or it can be a virus. Have we ever had any of those kinds of problems? Oh, we have that problem right now. Do you know what God said? God said he would protect us from an epidemic that is raging. You think God is capable of doing something like that? Could God take care of us in an epidemic? You know, in the history of our nation, we have had lots of threats and lots of epidemics, and many times our leaders have called us to a day of prayer. Now, I'm going to tell you just one story. But the year was 1877, and the state of Minnesota was covered with a plague of grasshoppers. Do you know grasshoppers can eat everything that's alive? And now these people had grain in the field that was planted, and now their crops were going to be eaten up. Is that serious? What's going to happen if the crops are... they're not going to be able to eat when it comes wintertime. And so the whole state was covered with a plague of grasshoppers. If you look this up in history, it's called the Grasshopper Plague of 1877. You know what happened? The governor of Minnesota called for a day of prayer for April 26th, the year 1877. You want to know what happened next? They had a sleet storm, and it killed all the grasshoppers. Do you know what sleet is? It's kind of like snow. It got so cold that it killed all the grasshoppers. And today, if you went to a town called Cold Spring, Minnesota, there you would find a memorial chapel to commemorate the miracle that happened. See, their crops were about to be eaten. God sends a fluke snowstorm. It kills all the grasshoppers, and they're saved. Now, my question is, do you think prayer had anything to do with that? Well, look at what the rest, in Psalm 91, it says that God will protect us from pestilence that stalks us. And he goes on to say, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. The Bible says that God can send angels to protect us from pestilence or from epidemics. So if God is going to protect us, then, Ben, I don't guess we have to wash our hands. Is that right? No, that's not right. We still have to use common sense. We have to do what we can, but God does not want us to live in fear. Now, there are two worldviews. Some people would say to you, I don't believe all that stuff about angels. The government will take care of me. Frankly, I don't have that much faith. The Bible says God will take care of us, and yet we need to pray for our government because God has instituted it. And so just like governors and presidents all through American history have called for national days of prayer or statewide days of prayer, so our president has called us for a national day of prayer. Why are we praying? Well, we're praying, first of all, because God has promised his protection, but we must humble ourselves and we must acknowledge that we need that we are dependent upon God. And if we are humble and ask God for his help, do you think God will help us? Well, he's always helped us. You can count on his help. And so I think it's appropriate for us to make this a special matter of prayer. And as I was thinking about it, the first thought that crossed my mind is we ought to all just join hands and pray together. My second thought is, no, we will not join hands, but we will join arms. See, that's common sense. We don't need to take unnecessary risk. And so what we'll do is you keep your hands to yourself, but let's stand as a special time of prayer, and we'll pray that God will do it once again. This is not our last shot in the dark. It probably won't help, but it won't hurt. No, I'm saying we, as American people, we have always called on God. Abraham Lincoln called the whole nation to prayer during the Civil War. And if you'll Google this, you'll find that this is the normal pattern of response. And so let's bow our heads and look to God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you realizing that you have all power and that you love us. We also recognize that as a nation we have gone far from you and we do not deserve your grace. In fact, we deserve your judgment. But we thank you that you are not looking for a chance to punish us. You're looking for a chance to enter into a relationship with us. And so on this Sunday morning, March 15th, 2020, we acknowledge that even though we have government officials that are studying, we have a Center for Disease Control, we have the best medical facilities and scientists working on this problem, but we realize that it has already gotten out of control. Now, we do not panic, but we pray for those who are at risk, and we pray that you will bring a quick conclusion to this pandemic that we are just now trying to address. Lord, you can do something. You can do something very simple. And by next week or by 2 weeks from now, it can all be passed. Lord, we don't know which button to push. We don't know what will make things better or what might make things worse. But we know this does not catch you by surprise. And so we worship you, we praise you for your faithfulness, and we ask you to do for us what we need and not what we deserve. We know we deserve your judgment, but we need your mercy. And we appeal to you not on the basis of how good we've been, but we appeal to you on the basis of how good you are, that you will show yourself strong and especially come to the quick rescue of people who have compromised immune systems and for people who are at risk, including people within our own family and church. Lord, help us to do everything that we can do, but not to panic. We know you're going to take care of us. Father, we run to you like little chickens, run under the wings of the mother hen. Lord, when the devil is about to trap us, we thank you that you can spring the trap loose. And we thank you for these word pictures that you give us, that you're there to protect us from our own vulnerability. Take care of us and give wisdom to those who have oversight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.